we shall see him as he is. Good morning. That phrase comes from the last part of verse 2 of 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, the concluding clause in that verse, in that sentence, actually. I would like to go back to the beginning of verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Literally, it has not been manifested what we shall be like. Now, verse 2, following verse 1, builds on verse 1. Let's go back and read verse 1 as well. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. I told you yesterday that something is unfolded here. It comes into view in chapter 3, and I think more graphically than you'll find it in almost any other book in the Bible. There is this relationship. Remember, 1 John, as a book, has as its overall theme fellowship with God. As we look at this concept of having fellowship with God, we need to look at its character and the nature, the basis for the fellowship. The basis for the fellowship is a relationship with God, a relationship that is available only through Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you come to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, consider, if you will, for a moment what Paul said to the Ephesians in chapter 2 of that book. Chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, when you look here in verse 1, in the English it is not so readily apparent as it is in the Greek, but it is here. I call your attention to it once again. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Now, the word called, we inevitably will take that sentence to mean, oh, well, when people refer to us, they refer to us as sons of God. We would take that word like that. But that's not it. That we should be called in the sense of being invited, in the sense of being brought into a condition called. You have been called with a high and holy calling. Called unto Christ, called unto salvation, called to a holy testimony, called to a ministry of reconciliation. Called, that we should be called the sons of God. Now in the Greek it uses the expression that we should be called the sons of God, and then, and we are, appears in the Greek. And we are. We are called to be the sons of God, and we are the sons of God. As I said, if you're going to have fellowship with God, there's going to be a basis for this. Now, somehow, there has crept into the thinking of Christians, and it has been there for generations. To be a son of God simply means, oh, you've been saved, you're a Christian. But the concept, son of God, child of God, let me say it another way, offspring of God, born not of the will of man, nor the will of the flesh, but by the will of God, born, offspring, child of God. These are terms, friend, that tell you something if you're listening. It's not simply a matter of, well, you know, how I got religion. No. That doesn't get it. That doesn't explain why the world does not know you. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. There is a relationship between God and the believer that the world is put off by. Oh, that's because we don't do the same things. Why don't you do the same things the world? Well, they don't like it. We try to get them to quit their sin. And is that what you try to do? Is that what you're called to do? Get them to try to quit their sin? Why does the world refuse to recognize, refuse to perceive what a Christian really is? Part of the problem lies in the fact that Christians don't know what they are. We've danced around it. You, if you are a Christian, in the biblical sense, if you have given your heart to Jesus Christ, you have been born again by the Spirit of God. If that is true, you are no longer human. This is where the music gets really dark. Dun, dun, dun. And whoa. And then you break for a commercial. You're not really human. You are in the world, but you're no longer of the world. You see in the Old Testament and in New Testament references to Abraham that he was a pilgrim and stranger here. What does that mean? He was a foreigner. Well, yeah, he was from a different part of the... No, 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 no. You want another word for stranger? Foreigner. How about alien? First part of every new year, all the alien residents in the United States have to file forms with the INS, the Immigration and Naturalization Services. Want to know where you are? Keep an eye on you, that kind of a thing, especially since 9-1-1. Yeah, you're an alien. Why does that word put you off? Well, alien, that sounds like, you know, you ride around a flying saucer, a little green man, you know, go nanu nanu and all that kind of stuff. Oh, wait a minute. The world does not recognize you as its own, as one of its own. Why? Because you belong to God. Why? Because of what he has done to you. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Because he has, the world refuses to recognize us. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. What does that mean? Do you understand that? It doesn't mean you're just a Christian. You're a child of God. Do you have children? You have a child at home? You have kids that are grown? You got a child? What's his name? We say, well, you know, he gave him a name. Yeah, but he's got the same last name as you, don't he? Yeah. Same blood type. Their same family resemblances. Uh-huh. Now are we the sons of God. Why do you think he says, be ye holy, for I am holy? It's a family characteristic, friend. Without holiness shall no man see God. Scripture says that, but we're not talking about how high a lady piles the hair on top of her head, or whether or not she's as plain as a barn door, whether or not she wears clothes or about three generations out of fashion. We're not talking about whether a man wears black wingtip shoes and white athletic socks and refuses to wear a tie. We're not talking about that as being holy. We're talking about the characteristic of God, the character of God. Because he is holy, we're supposed to be holy. Why? Because we are his son, his daughter, beloved. Beloved. What does that mean? Even the choice of words get past us without our awareness. Beloved. That word in the Greek means divinely loved ones. You've heard preachers all your, now, dearly beloved, and it's used like a term of address. Now, folks, beloved, it's a catchphrase. My friend, biblically, when you see that word, beloved, addressed to believers, it means divinely loved ones. You are beloved because God is the one doing the loving. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear, not yet, what we shall be. You can't read that without sensing John's anticipation, looking forward. There are people, and I've been involved with rest home work for the last 25 years. I find two kinds of people in residence at these facilities. People who are just sitting around waiting to die, no hope, just giving up on life. Oh, I ain't no good for nothing. Can't smell the food, can't taste it, don't have any teeth to chew it, and I can't see it. I don't know, I'm a burden to everybody, and they feel sorry for themselves. And even if you didn't, you know, have any particular apathy for them, by the time they're done, you can't wait to get away from them. There's another kind of individual in a rest home. People who've known the Lord their most their lives, and they're waiting to go home. I've had dear, sweet Christians say to me as they're approaching into their lives, "Preacher, won't you pray for me? I'm sick. Won't you pray for me?" Okay, I'll say, "We're praying." "Now, preacher, I don't want you to pray that I'll get well. I want you to pray that the Lord will let me go home." I tell you, it's very difficult to keep a dry eye and a lump out of your throat when you see that kind of love that the Christian in his last days still exhibits for his Lord. "I want to go home. I want to go home." Do you want to go home? Do you want to go to heaven? You looking forward to it? Or is it something you're putting off as long as you possibly can? Beloved, now are we this. Now. Not in some future state. Now. Not next year, not 100 years from now, not 100 years after we've been dead. Now, today, now are we the sons of God. Why? The manner of love which he hath bestowed upon us. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know, we are fully persuaded, we are aware of the fact and are persuaded of the truth and the validity of this perception. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. My friend, do you have any idea what that's talking about? To see him as he is changes us. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. This mortal must put on immortality. This corruptible shall put on incorruption. And we shall be changed. Then shall be brought to pass the saying, "Death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? We shall be like him. He lives, never more to die." And so it will be with us. Why? Because now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. How do you know that? Because of what the Bible says. "For we shall see him as he is, not like the Jesus in the little storybooks that grandparents buy for their grandchildren, but the Jesus of the book, the Bible." Running out of time again. I hope you'll join me tomorrow. We'll continue our study in 1 John. Fellowship with God. How's yours? See you then.